Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, The Real Gerald Quinn, on this 11th of June, 2019. As we discuss, I discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, we are streaming live from on my YouTube channel. You can catch a podcast anytime on my YouTube channel, Real Deal Podcast. I'll be posting it on various platforms. Between now and tomorrow morning, it will be available through YouTube anywhere from about 15 to 30 minutes after the program. It'll be available on Blog Talk Radio sometime later on tonight, maybe even early tomorrow morning. And easy to where it's easy place to begin with, and easy story to begin with, and that is, of course, the Kevin Durant injury, which took place couple minutes into the second quarter last night with Golden State Toronto, as Golden State was able to hang on and take out Toronto 106-105 to keep their hopes of three-peating alive. They'll be going, of course, back to Oracle on Thursday night. But again, the result of the game is absolutely an afterthought. In comparisons to what transpired with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, of course, left the game about a couple minutes into the second quarter with the leg injury, and we knew right away, as soon as he tried to make the move on Serge Ibaka, that it was a non-contact, and that his night was going to be done. But his series and his season was done. Now, and he was playing about, he's playing, of course, up until that point, he was playing great. 11 points, had made all three of his threes. The Warriors offensively looked like the Warriors. They had their swag back. Curry had a big first quarter, and you could just tell he was the best player on the floor. And I know, all due respect to Kawhi Leonard, who's had a phenomenal postseason, who more than likely will win Finals MVP with Toronto still in the catbird seat, up 3-2. But Kevin Durant, even in the short time that he was on the floor, played 12 minutes, was clearly the best player on the floor, and he seemed like he was headed towards 30 to 35, maybe even 40 point night. Again, a lot of speculation on who's to blame, should he have been playing when it came to this injury. I'll say this, and I've done a lot of, researching and homework as far as when this injury first took place, the diagnosis. And when he hurt himself in game 5 against Houston, and he came out with MRI, it was diagnosed as a grade 1 mild calf sprain. Okay, now, to give you a little background on what that is, a calf strain, is a minor tear in your calf muscle. Grade 1, normally you're out 7 to 10 days. Grade 2, you're out minimum 4 to 6 weeks. Grade 3, which of course is the worst, is a 3-month injury. So the question you ask yourself is, how was this misdiagnosed? It clearly, at worst, in terms of the baseline, was a grade 2 strain. At worst, and looking at what transpired last night with the injury, it might even have been closer to a 3-month injury. So, Kevin Durant, and again, this is not me second guessing, Kevin Durant shouldn't have been playing last night. There's all there is to it. The Golden State Warriors failed Kevin Durant. They allowed Kevin Durant to convince them to get on the floor, even though he was not ready physically. And for an organization that has been at the top of the heap for the better part of the last 5 years, as well run as any organization in basketball, up maybe even in sports. This is something that you just wouldn't expect. This is something that I just don't understand. And this is, these are types of mistakes that will have conspiracy theorists going wild, right? Because they'll say, a conspiracy theorist will say, wait, hold on. He's going to be a free agent. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Can, of course, opt out of his deal after this year. It was expected to leave, whether it be New York, whether it be Brooklyn, Knicks, whoever, it was expected to leave. What, if he plays and we lose, he's out. If he plays and we win, we get another title. If he gets hurt, he's not going to be on our team anyway. Now, again, I don't believe that none of this is going through the minds of Bob Myers and the San Antonio and the Golden State Brass. I don't. I think they are a first-class organization, first-rate organization, the whole nine. But when you make a mistake this egregious, people are going to play devil's advocate. People are going to, negativity is going to come out. And this is a situation where, again, there's no way in the world that that you could diagnose this as a minor grade one injury to begin with. There's no way that you can misdiagnose. Like, I don't, again, and those doctors who diagnosed this as a grade one injury should be fired. Because it was a clear misdiagnosis from that standpoint. And the start, a couple of days ago, he had a workout on Thursday. All the reports came from that workout, including Jalen Rose, who is as connected as any ex-player, current analyst in the NBA right now. He's an ex-player. He's well-respected, well-liked amongst the players. The organizations trust him. He does not leak information. He can hold his water as far as keeping secrets, and we'll give you the information at more than likely at the appropriate time. He held off on the James Harden information that came out with Chris Paul. So Rose came out on Thursday and said that he basically, or Friday, or this weekend, Saturday, I think it was Saturday, and said that Saturday, Sunday, that the workout didn't go well and that he would be shocked. Maybe it might have been Monday. He would be shocked if Durant played for the rest of the series, that the workout did not go well. And there were other reports that, that reported that, that had similar that reported the similar had similar information about that workout on Thursday. So you go from that workout to all of a sudden now being cleared to play on Monday and being ruled questionable on Monday and playing on Monday. So, like, what happened in those 48 hours from Thursday, or 72 hours? What happened in that 3 day period? Again, this workout was not a grueling workout. It really wasn't, by all reports. So to me, from the outside in, I think Durant lobbied hard to play. I think that the doctors, I guess, under the pressure of from the organization, cleared him to play, and the result is you have a guy that's going to be out for at least the next season with this injury. This is one of the most devastating injuries that that a basketball player can have. This is even worse than than an ACL, ankle broken. This is as bad as injuries you can have as a basketball player, a torn Achilles, or as an athlete in general. As bad as it gets. I mean, this type of injury ends careers, even with all the modern medicine, even in 2019. Most guys do not come back the same player. So again, considering how Golden State has dealt with injuries to Klay Thompson, to Steph Curry versus how they dealt with this injury. And if you really look at it, there's no comparison in terms of how careful they were with Steph Curry, with his ankle injuries, and even his knee injury back in 2016, versus, and even the knee injury that Curry had, the minor knee injury that Curry had last year to begin the playoffs, versus how they've dealt with this Kevin Durant injury. Klay Thompson, a week ago, was lobbied hard to play in that game three after being injured in game two against Toronto. This is a guy who is one of the toughest players in the league. This is a guy in Klay Thompson who, outside of PJ Tucker, has probably been the most durable player in the league over the past 5 years. He gets hurt in game two, wants to play in game three, which was last Wednesday. Injury took place on a Sunday. They say, no, take the extra day. Game's not until Friday night. You basically have, 4.5 days of rest. And Thompson was dying to play. That was for a hamstring. Now, again, if I was playing conspiracy theories, I would say Durant situation versus Klay Thompson situation. Well, both are unrestricted free agents, but one is expected to be back. Like, it would be a shock if Klay Thompson left Golden State. It really would be. Versus Durant, who a lot of people thought had one foot out the door, despite how dominant he had been prior to the injury against Houston. Look at Bob Myers' press conference. It was very revealing. Very. Now, again, seemed genuine about his love for Kevin Durant, how much he cares about him. Don't doubt that for a second. But look at a couple of these quotes. You can blame me. I don't believe there's anyone to blame. But if you want to blame somebody, blame me. How many times have you seen a general manager, president, CEO of a sports situation, a sports team come out after a guy's been injured to that extent and point the finger at themselves? How many times in your lifetime in watching sports have you ever? I have never seen that happen, ever, ever. I don't think there's anybody to blame, but you can blame me if you want to blame anybody. That was guilt. We fucked up. And that was, Kevin, can you please forgive us? So there was three things going on there with those with Bob Myers during that press conference. It was a very short, it was about 5 minutes and 16 seconds. But that was guilt. There's a lot, he covered basically every emotion as far as, as far as what was going on in his mind. And again, I don't doubt for a second Bob Myers cares about these players, loves these players. I don't doubt that for a minute, for a second. This is a guy, Bob Myers is as respected of an executive as there is in the league right now. He's built a team that has won three out of the last four championships. That's in the finals for the fifth straight year. So we understand Bob Myers is a top. Is already probably the best at his job right now. This is a situation where, I think back to a year ago, everybody was ripping on Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi betrayed the Spurs. Kawhi's playing, missing out. That's the worst when you're about to sneeze, when you have an anticipated sneeze but don't sneeze. But Kawhi, being selfish, and look what the Spurs have done for him, and look how he's treating the Spurs, and this injury, his injury is not that serious. Kawhi was getting destroyed this time last year. Look who's playing in the finals right now, on the cusp of a championship and the Finals MVP. Look who said, you know what? Physically, I can't do it right now. I'm not gonna risk my career and my injury or my livelihood to prove to anybody how tough I am. I don't care what Tony Parker says. I don't care what Popovich says. I don't care about what anybody in the Spurs organization says. I don't care about what their doctors say. And those doctors, the Spurs doctors, are as respected of a training staff as there is in the league. But they don't know his body the way he knew his body. And has worked out, the guy, the results of what he's done. Uncle Dennis, speak for themselves. Compare that to Kevin Durant. And, you know, I think Kevin Durant really allowed Twitter, the media, people that were starting to who were questioning this injury to frankly get the best of him. That Kevin Durant really listened to his body, had an honest conversation with his body, he does not step back on the court. And made a logical decision, he does not step back on the court. Now, Kevin Durant, and I don't expect this to happen, Kevin Durant cannot blame the Golden State Warriors for this injury. I can blame the Golden State Warriors. Maybe Kevin Durant's family can blame the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant, as a man, as a grown man, 30 years old, cannot blame the Golden State Warriors. Because without Kevin Durant's consent with that decision, he's not on the court. And I don't think Golden State even pressured him to get back. I really don't. I think both Golden State and Kevin Durant wanted him to play before the finals was over. I think it was a bad combination. There was no one. Now maybe somebody in Kevin Durant's camp said Kevin isn't worth it. Maybe somebody tried to talk him out of it. I don't know. I'm not in his circle. But the Golden State Warriors and Kevin Durant wanted him to desperately be on that court. His teammates wanted him to be on that court. And, you know, if the job of an organization, of any sports organization, is to, in situations like these, when it comes to injuries, is to protect the player from themselves. That is your job as an organization when it comes to injuries. And Golden State did as bad of a job as you can possibly do in this situation. They really did. And it might cost Kevin Durant his career. He's going again. From a financial standpoint, some team is going to give him a max deal this summer, regardless whether or not he will be able to come back next year. Some teams don't give him a max deal. It only takes one. I'm sure there'll be multiple teams that will be lined up to give Kevin Durant a max contract. Without question, I still think the Knicks will be one of those teams. I'm sure there are teams that, you know, will come out of the woodworks. I myself, if I were running an organization, I'll give him 2 years and a third year as an option, as a team option. I will take a risk. Not giving him 4 years with all four being guaranteed or giving him a player option. It would be a short team-friendly deal from the standpoint of years. I wouldn't even concern about the amount of money. It'd just be about the years. 2 years with a third year as a team option. I think that's what his talent still demands that's worth the risk. Depending on what, you know, where you're at as a franchise. But the Golden State Warriors as a franchise completely dropped the ball on this. Completely dropped the ball on this. There's no two ways about it. It's not second guessing. It is, you know, I just think that you as an organization, there's certain mistakes that just can't be made. You cannot misdiagnose a calf strain grade one versus grade three. And again, his strain was probably closer to being a grade three than it was a grade one. So So Durant's going to be done for probably a year. I mean, as far as the Warriors go, I don't think it really affects. I think they were expecting to leave anyway. I think they would have probably made a push to re-sign him. I think the Warriors, it doesn't really alter what they were going to do, to be honest with you. I think they were ready for him. I think they were having a plan that they had a plan already in place, anticipating that he was going to be out the door. I mean, it's more about the rest of the teams around. What are the rest of the teams around the league going to do in regards to who comes after him? How many teams come after him? Somebody, there will be multiple teams after him that will put them all for seed on the table. There's no two ways about it. If you think that, then you're just not paying attention to the NBA. This is not 34-year-old Kobe Bryant coming off of Achilles. Okay, Kevin Durant's 40 years younger. Kevin Durant is the best player in the world prior to this. Somebody will take a risk. Someone will. There's no two ways about it. But the history of this injury tells us that the best of Kevin Durant, those days could be behind him. And that he probably, chances are, the likelihood that he won't be ever be the same player again. That's what the history of this injury tells us. And it could have been avoided. It absolutely could have been avoided. And again, you look at how Kawhi handled this versus Kevin Durant. Kawhi listened to his body. I'm shutting it down. Again, be careful when a guy tells you, the athlete tells you that they cannot play and they're hurt, and you say, "Oh, you can play." Or you call a guy soft because he's sitting out with an injury. Look at the last three major injuries in the NBA as far as high-profile guys. You've had 3 straight years. You had Isaiah Thomas from Boston a couple of years, 2 years ago. Had Kawhi Leonard last year, Kevin Durant this year. Isaiah Thomas and Kevin Durant chose to sacrifice for the team, put it out there on the line, and both of them paid the price. Isaiah Thomas paid the biggest price because that cost him his career, and he's not, nowhere near the player that, Kawhi or Kevin Durant are. That cost him at least 70 to possibly more likely $80 million. That cost him his career. Kawhi Leonard, I'm going to do things. I'm taking care of my body, looking out for my best interests. He's going to get his money and more likely and possibly a championship in the finals MVP. So I think that this is more about what the rest of the league is going to look like as far as it will, to me, it will have an effect on the rest of the league than it will the Golden State Warriors, because I don't think Durant is re-signing with Golden State anyway. So it's just a question of who goes after Durant. How long will, is there a possibility that he will play late next season? That next May or something, or April? I don't think he plays next season. I just think out of pure caution that, people around him, hopefully somebody's in his ear saying, "Look, just take the season off." I mean, it just, even if your recovery is going along fast, quickly, even if you're ahead of schedule, no, just sit the season out, which is a hard thing at this point in his career. He's not 25, he's not 23. This is one of, these prime years are few and far between when you reach the age of 30. So who knows how long, the LeBrons, Kobes of the world, not too many guys that can play at a high level into their mid-30s. So it's a tough pill to swallow to have to sit out the entire year of in your prime. Not an easy thing. But without question, he's going to have to. As far as the game goes, Toronto blew a golden opportunity as far as I'm concerned. That game at 103 to 97 had, the champagne was, ready to be uncorked at that point, and you felt like Toronto was in total control of the game. Kawhi Leonard was on his own personal, basically 10-0 run, and then Nick Nurse, for whatever reason, decides to call a timeout. And again, if not for the Kevin Durant injury, Nick Nurse calling a timeout would have been by far the biggest story of the game, easily. Because that was one of the bonehead plays, coaching decisions that I've seen in the finals in recent memory. I cannot think of it. You have all the momentum in the world. Your team is rolling. Kawhi Leonard is unstoppable. And you allow Golden State to catch their breath. And after that, Golden State ended the game on a 9-2 run. Three big threes from the Splash Brothers. Two by Thompson, one by Curry. And then the last bucket, I think Kawhi scored their last. No, the last score was by Kyle Lowry layup. That was their last bucket of the game. So, if Toronto does not win the series, you can look back at that timeout as being the turning point in my eyes. Now, if you're Toronto, you have Game 7 at home. You have a Game 6 in where you know Durant's done for the series. You've won there twice. I don't think you can let this get to a Game 7. I think Toronto's approach should be like treat Game 6 like their Game 7. Because Steph Curry, Klay Thompson can go for 40. They can go for 70 between them in any game. And now, unlike Games 3 and 4, the Golden State is going to be well rested. Like, they're going to have an extra day rest between each game moving forward. So they'll play on Thursday. If they win, if it goes past Thursday, then the game seven will be until Monday. Yeah, so game seven will not be until Monday. Sunday. So game, that, like, you don't want to mess around with, if you're Toronto, you don't, trying to close out a championship team who didn't quit. Golden State got enough, of course, got what they got from the Splash Brothers, got enough from Boogie Cousins, who had a nice performance. And Durant's points were big. I mean, again, that's a one-point game. Durant had 11 points in 12 minutes. They needed every single one of those points. Twenty-threes for Golden State in the game. Toronto outscored them from the line, which kept Toronto. Kept Toronto in the game when they couldn't make a three-point shot. Don't have any problem with Kawhi Leonard giving up the ball. That was a great double team, a well-timed double team by Andre Iguodala. The spacing was terrible on the play. If you're Toronto, the one regret you do have is the fact that, again, to me, you're only down by one. Maybe they should have went quicker so that Kyle Lowry doesn't, the best shot that you get shouldn't be a contested three-point shot from the corner. Maybe you can make a case they could have got a better shot. But your best player had the ball in his hands. It was a well-timed double team. Great block by Draymond Green. And, Golden State lives another day. Again, 103-97. I thought that game was over. I thought that game was absolutely over at 103-97. You give Golden State credit. Made some big shots. They held off, they made enough plays. Again, they only had 44 points in the second half, but made enough plays in the last 3 minutes to keep their season alive. And now again, you start playing these extra games and don't put teams away. That's when injuries do happen. That's when you're susceptible to something like that. When you get a chance to put away a series, you absolutely should put it away. Because ankle twist, anything can happen once you start playing these extra games. That is going to be again game six. A lot of people, there are people picking Toronto. I'm telling you right now, to beat that team three times at Oracle. Remember, when they beat them the first time was no Klay Thompson. The second time, the turnaround was quick. Curry had nothing. This time, you're gonna have a Klay Thompson who is near at probably close to 95% at this point. You're gonna have a crowd that is gonna be insane, and you're gonna have a pretty, a well-rested Steph Curry in comparison to Game Four. So I think I expect Game Six to be closely contested down the stretch. That crowd is going to be again last game at Oracle. That is a tough spot for Toronto to win that to win against that team. That team still has championship pedigree. They still have championship medal. But if you're Toronto, if you're a championship team, if you then you handle your business in game six. You don't even allow it to go to a game seven. Do not mess with a game seven against that team. Don't mess with a game seven against that team. So again, if you're Toronto, I'm putting all my marbles in that game six. That game seven, game six, you have to treat that game six like your game seven. And if Toronto cannot, if Toronto were to somehow lose this series, you're going to go back to that timeout that Nicklaus called at 103 to 97. That will be the thing that people talk about even more so, even more so, strategically, X's and O's wise, than the Kevin Durant injury. Again, this has been this series. It hasn't by any stretch of imagination been a classic, but it has been a series of so many different storylines and subplots and narratives. People can say all they want that Toronto's the better team without Durant. I'm not convinced that Toronto's a better team than Golden State without Durant. I'm not convinced by that. To be honest with you, you look at the games that look at the games where Golden State has been fully healthy without Durant or near close to being perfect health. Game one, yeah, Toronto controlled for the most part, won by nine. Golden State won game two. Games three and four, I mean, again, Klay missed game three, game four, Curry came out, Looney didn't play and Curry was gassed. And game five, you got what you got. So even throughout five games, it's still hard to get a sense of what this series is. It really is. Now maybe game six will tell you a story, will tell the story of it. I don't know. I just, I've never seen a finals where that has been so choppy and where it's taken this long to get a feel of what the series is. Again, we know Kawhi Leonard is unstoppable. We understand that. We know Steph Curry is going to score the ball, but other than that, is you just I we just don't you just don't know about this series, to be honest with you. Yeah, this series has been as trying to predict. Now again, it's easy to predict Toronto's going to win. They're up 3-2. They have game seven. But good luck trying to predict this series game by game, because I do not have a good feel about the direction of this series moving forward. I really don't at this point. And we played five games. So again, game six is on Thursday. Again, Golden State. Listen, it doesn't matter. We've seen the last two off seasons, the two best organizations in the in basketball, the two best, Golden State and San Antonio, completely in different ways drop the ball when it's come to dealing with their superstar players in terms of their injuries. Think about that. San Antonio, it cost them. I mean, it cost them their franchise player. It cost them Kawhi Leonard, who right now is at worst, probably the second best player in the world right now. And for Golden State, it may cost Kevin Durant the rest of his prime years as we know it. So that is, it's one of those things where, again, if a player tells you, "I can't play, I cannot play," moving forward, I gotta go with the player. I mean, in terms of looking out for his best interest, but in terms of dealing with injuries, you can question their toughness, you can question their heart, but as of right now, especially in the NBA, I'm gonna take the player over the organization when it comes to these, especially serious injuries. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. As always, this is the Real Deal Podcast, telling it like it is with no apologies. Thanks for listening.